Music from Stephen Curtis Chapman, his song Cinderella. Also, we heard from Janet Paschal, If I'd Had My Way, from Steve Bell, his song Peace Prayer. And good morning to you now, 14 minutes after the hour on this Monday. Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas, where he tells me it's 70 degrees. Is that right, Don?
Well, it is quite not. It's probably not that warm right now. It's 67.
67. Oh, 67. Yeah. Oh, well, it'll warm up for you in no time. You'll be thawing out.
Didn't we agree that we didn't want to hear about it anymore? Didn't we agree on that?
Well, you know, every conversation seems to start these days with the weather. I wonder if that's been true all through history, do you suppose? Is that like searching for common ground? Is that kind of a warm up to the essence of
it? Yeah, I think it's a warm-up, especially when I'm warm down here and you're cold up there.
Well, yeah.
It has to be a warm-up for you.
Yeah, I'd rather be able to top you, but I can't today. Yeah, we got, although 29 degrees at the moment here in north central Minnesota, but we're looking for snow and sleet and ice and drizzle, a whole combination today. So there's a story out of Texas that you brought to my attention last week that is intriguing to me. After a 15-year-long battle, the Texas Medical Board has officially ended its crusade to revoke Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski's medical license in an effort to end the use of his pioneering personalized gene-targeted therapy for cancer. And this is on Dr. Mercola's website. It's mercola.com. And you can read about it yourself. But Don, tell me about this. What's so special about either his treatment or the way he's been handled by the Texas Medical Board?
Well, those are two broad questions, so
yeah.
Let's talk about the treatment first. What's different about the treatment, and interesting enough, now many doctors, oncologists that are treating cancer patients say this is the wave of the future, is that instead of just looking under a microscope and saying, well, you have, after taking a biopsy, for example, in saying, well, you have such and such cancer, Dr. Mercola for years has been doing a little bit more research and sends the tissue samples as well as the blood samples out to an independent laboratory, and they do DNA analysis. He then takes those results and says, it tries to figure out which genes are affected that the cancer is affecting. And then he puts together a sort of a cocktail of specific drugs, as well as what's called neoplastones, anti-neoplastones, to target that specific cancer.
Now, so it's really a custom designed treatment for that particular patient, then.
Exactly, and it's not. You know, it's not, well, we're gonna treat you with this drug and hope that it works type of thing. It's it's much more specific than what you would get in a normal, cancer treatment center. So what he's been doing is kind of leading edge medicine. Now, you would say, well, that's great. You know, I want to go to Dr. Brzezinski if I have cancer, or at least someone like him. And I certainly would do that if I needed some cancer treatment. I'd rather be treated with drugs that actually might have an effect on my specific cancer than just a general blast, like a shotgun blast to my system. Now, the problem came in when the Texas Medical Board said, wait a minute, you can't do this. You're using drugs that haven't been approved for that indication, which is the primary problem. With his particular therapy, but as a physician, you have a right to practice medicine, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's practicing medicine by trying to be a little bit more specific, or a lot more specific than most of his other colleagues.
The key here is diagnosis, isn't it? Because rather than saying, okay, you're a cancer patient, you have this type of cancer, we typically treat this type of cancer with this drug, he's saying, let's look more deeply into this and get very specific about you and what's happening in your body, and then we will custom make That seems to me what medicine should be. I mean, that's a detailed diagnosis, and not just a shortcut.
Yeah, that's right. That's what medicine should be. But unfortunately, there's a lot of folks that don't have, a lot of doctors, for example, who don't have the scientific background to be able to practice medicine like that, because after all, the human body is very, very complex. Dr. Brzezinski happens to also be a biochemist, by the way.
Like you.
His biochemistry, background is helping him to do better medicine. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is that he has every perfect legal right to do what he's doing, as long as he is not, doing something that is harming his patients. Well, we know that a lot of cancer patients die, anyway. Mm-hmm. And there have been not only the Texas Medical Board, but the FDA has tried to sue him in saying, well, look, this cancer patient died. Well, the cancer patient in question was going to die anyway. And he was just trying to help the gal with his specific therapy. And she did go into remission for a little bit of time, where she was on death row when she came to the office. So, they this type of harassment is just it's uncalled for, and we should have more doctors like Dr. Brzezinski out there willing to do something, more for the patient, rather than just sticking with the pharmaceutical companies, labeling of drugs.
There's a good point. Now, the Texas Medical Board has been trying to shut him down for 15 years, and the good news is they've given up the case, and apparently they dropped any court cancer against the doctor. But the question is here, can we follow the dollars? You mentioned pharmaceutical companies being involved in this. Would they have reason to persuade either the FDA or the Texas Medical Board to pursue this and to stop his treatment?
Well, yes, because he has filed a patent, or a couple of patents on his not only procedure, but some of the drugs that he is using, because they're not labeled, again, for that particular, for those particular cases.
Now, has he developed his own drugs or just unique combinations?
He's not developing his own products. These products are actually on the market for other uses. Hmm. So, but for that, for that specific use, he has, this is my best of my understanding, has filed a patent or two or so. And, of course, he's having better success than your traditional cancer treatment centers.
Now, how has the rest of the medical industry, or maybe some other doctors or cancer treatment centers, have they sat up and taken notice of this treatment, this therapy?
Well, some doctors are going to complain, for example, but others are saying, wow, this is really leading edge stuff. And this is what, in general, this is what we should be doing. So, some of his peers and some of the folks in the industry are saying, we need to be doing similar things that Dr. Brzezinski is doing. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting interesting dilemma for him, because even the FDA, for example, who's filed cases against him, even their own law allows a physician to practice, and a physician to try off-labeled drugs in his practice if it's warranted. Now, in his case, it's not only warranted. I mean, he is specifically saying, okay, I've got this drug that blocks this particular pathway or blocks this gene that is being expressed in the cancer. He's got the research behind it to say, this looks like this should work. And in a lot of cases, it does.
So, and going on with the Mercola article here, it makes reference to the cancer industry, that Dr. Brzezinski's work and methods pose a threat to the cancer industry. That suggests to me this is about dollars and bureaucracy.
Right, because the cancer industry is the pharmaceutical industry, and you know, some of the cancer treatment centers, but primarily the pharmaceutical industry. Now, here's the dilemma of a pharmaceutical company. If I'm developing a drug, I've got to put, you know, millions and millions of dollars into the development of this drug, and you have to do obviously clinical trials in patients of specific types. So you have, for example, you have a new drug, new cancer drug that you've manufactured, and you think it's going to work for this particular type of cancer because that's what you targeted. So you've got to find patients with that specific type of cancer. So you do your clinical trials with that specific type of cancer, and then your drug is labeled only for that specific type of cancer. So in order to get the drug marketed for multiple cancers, you have to do clinical trials with patients of those specific types of cancers. You can't just do a broad clinical trial and say, well, we've got this cancer and that cancer and this other cancer. And it's very, very excuse me, very difficult to do clinical trials with multiple drugs.
Because, well, you know, if Dr. Brzezinski's method hinges on a very specific diagnosis that pertains to that particular individual and that particular cancer situation, it's easy to see why a clinical trial couldn't go to that level of detail. That would be fantastically expensive. And it seems to me also that if the cancer industry is really not producing solutions, you would be looking for innovation, not suppressing it. I mean, there's something wrong in the logic here.
Well, that's right. But like I said.
Oh, I think we lost you, Don. Are you still there? Uh-oh.
Well, before, it's Dr. Brzezinski is not using gene targeting, at least, doing the analysis that Dr. Brzezinski is doing on the different types of cancer. That's not prohibitive. What is prohibitive is kind of the matrix approach that he's using. So a pharmaceutical company might test one drug, or maybe they might test two drugs in combination. But to test four drugs in combination, the number of patients that you need goes up exponentially with each addition of drug in order to be able to figure out which combination works. Now, his is patient specific, and it's almost impossible to do a clinical trial like that.
Well, so
the pharmaceutical group is upset. Because, well, you know, he's got a patent, and this particular method is going to affect you know, their business at some point in time, because one of the drugs isn't even labeled for actually cancer therapy, I think. And so the large pharmaceutical companies are getting upset. But, I mean, he's still using pharmaceutical drugs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's like we're still selling those type of drugs. But
I wonder how his defense then against this case by the Texas Medical Board was effective. I mean, did they ran out of money? They've changed their minds about his treatment? Have they given the green light to his cancer treatment?
Well, they haven't given a green light. They're just saying here, there, the most of their lawsuit revolved around standard of care. Now, try to define standard of care. Now, the standard of care was you've got this cancer, and this drug is labeled for that type of cancer, so you get this type of drug. Is that the standard of care? Or do I improve on the standard of care because I am a physician? And a physician, by definition, is allowed to practice medicine as opposed to just being, you know, a sophisticated computer and a robot. And that's what the lawsuit really revolved around, is this standard of care. Now, the Texas Medical Board was trying to say this is not standard of care. Well, it is standard of care because you're caring for the patient. And not only that, you're having much more success rate than traditional medicine. So
one of the things. Go ahead. It's I'm reading not just the Mercola site, but also I pulled up the Wikipedia article, and Wikipedia article says that Mayo Clinic did trials on this particular manner of treatment, and also Sloan Kettering. And they both have come to the same conclusion that there's no clear evidence to support the anti-cancer effects of anti-neoplastins in humans. Now, and part of the Mayo Clinic study said that they had, National Cancer Institute closed down studies because they weren't able to find qualifying patients. I'm not sure what that means. I had cancer, and my cancer doc said, "I'm sorry, Dave, you got 6 months to live." I'd go to this guy. I'd go to Mexico. I'd go find apricot pits, whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. I'm puzzled. On one hand, the other trials from these other institutes have said that they find no benefit. But his study says he does find benefit.
So we have an array of experts all looking at the same thing and coming to different conclusions? Is that what's happening here?
Well, again, it's very, very difficult to standardize, this type of medicine, because by definition, and it's not standard. I mean, because you are targeting that specific individual and looking at, hundreds of genes and trying to figure out what the patient's problem is. So to standardize it is by definition, it's not standard. It is targeted for that specific patient, the treatment. Hence the problem with the clinical trial, because you aren't testing one or two or four different types of drugs with patients with all the same types of cancers, because if you do the analysis, they each have slightly different variations in their genes that is causing the cancer, and so by definition you have to treat them differently. Hence, you can't get enough patients to do the clinical trial.
Well, it sounds to me like Dr. Brzezinski is simply thinking out of the box, and the people in the box don't like it. And again, if you follow the money and you look at the bureaucracy, that's where the problem lies. Not apparently in the medicine practiced by Dr. Brzezinski, or maybe others who are doing leading-edge research on this. But if the mainstream can't solve it, I'm wondering, historically, in all fields, not just medicine, but in politics, economics, military conflicts, if the answers aren't always on the edges, and the mainstream is always behind the power curve somewhere. You got to look to the extremes to find at least clues to the answer and have somebody smart enough to put them together to solve a problem. And the medical industry is so tied up by dollars, particularly from the pharmaceuticals, that they don't have that capability. Now, that's a glittering generality, but maybe it applies. Well.
Yeah, and I think it applies, pretty well to this particular case. And unfortunately, our system was originally designed to allow this. And because bureaucrats are become, instead of being more and more scientific about their approach, as time goes on, bureaucrats become more and more bureaucratic.
They become entrenched. They protect what they're familiar with and what they know, and the environment in which they can exercise power. And I think that's true of any kind of bureaucracy, government included.
Yeah, that's right. And when I'll give you an example, which actually happened to me while I was doing clinical research with a biotechnology company, was that when I first started the project, we were developing a biotechnology compound to prevent a condition called secondary cataracts. So after you have your primary cataract surgery, you then your lens capsule, in this case, can cloud over with the lens epithelial cells that are left behind from the surgery. And so we had a drug that was targeted for those specific cells to kill those cells after right after the primary cataract surgery. Now, when I first started dealing with the FDA, it was the biologics division. And at that time, the biologics division was made up of all scientists and very few bureaucrats. But as time went on, the biologics division became just as bureaucratic as the very mature chemical division. And as a matter of fact, a lot of the chemical bureaucrats came over to the biologics, and the scientists were pushed out of the FDA. And you know, quite frankly, the bureaucrats were not capable of thinking outside the box. And so if you came up with a method of detecting whether or not your drug works, they were not able of saying, oh yeah, that method looks reasonable, and that method is appropriate for what you're trying to do. Instead, they made it pretty much impossible to do decent research.
Well, they erect a structure of policies within which they work, and if you come with something innovative, it doesn't fit into the slots.
I've heard this about the FDA before, and when somebody tries to explain it to me, the meaning kind of clouds over, and I get lost in the dust. And maybe it's being explained to me by a bureaucrat, because they seem to know how to obfuscate things. But do you smell a rat in the corner somewhere? Is there a reason that bureaucrats have taken over some of these agencies, FDA in particular? What's the upside? Why is that beneficial for more bureaucrats to gravitate towards these organizations? I'm missing the point. I'm one of those naive guys that still thinks that they're from the government. They are actually out to help me. I'd like to believe, but
they're like the pharmaceutical industry. There are people working within the pharmaceutical industry that actually want to help people, and are not out for the almighty dollar. They're out to try to benefit people by their research and by what they're doing. The same holds true, for folks in the FDA. The problem comes in. And when you basically apply rules and regulations that force very complex chemistry as well as biology into a box that it just doesn't fit in, and so you close your eyes and say, well, this is the way it has to be. And of course, one of the problems with agencies like this is that ultimately some people get their more kicks out of having the power to say yes or no than actually helping people.
And that goes beyond science and beyond medicine too. That's human behavior, and we're fighting it all the time. I got to apologize to listeners because Skype is cutting in and out, and I'm really perturbed with the performance of Skype. Anybody has a better idea for a better technology and software for us on these morning discussions, let me know. I would love to hear from you. Dr. Don is a biochemist, a member of the board of creationmoments.com, and knows whereof he speaks. And the whole treatment of the Dr. Brzezinski situation is pretty thorough over at Mercola.com. We'll have this conversation with Dr. Don posted on the website under Audio Archives a little later this morning, and with a link to the Mercola.com article, so you can research this a little bit more if you'd like. But it's an interesting story, and one well worth a few minutes on the Internet here to inform yourself as to what Dr. Brzezinski offers and the reasons for that 15-year campaign to shut him down. Let's try for one more last comment. I'm just a little perturbed with Skype here, I'm afraid. We're losing parts of what you're saying. Dave, any last thoughts?
I want to know what happens next. Is there, your bureaucracies will continue to grow, will continue to be this way, and not just in medicine, but just about in every other field. They will, that's the nature of bureaucracies. They expand on themselves. And what can be done? Brzezinski has got a movie out now. Maybe it's not a new movie, but maybe it's been out for a while. But it's called simply Brzezinski the Movie. And, maybe is this the way of the future that we have to take to the streets, that we have to win the battle of opinion? And, I mean, it's not really opinion, but slightly diverging. I just finished listening to the book Planet of the Apes. the original short story, and there are direct parallels. And that in this particular story, the apes, just kind of not evolved, but they developed abilities to speak, but they were just imitating humans. And the book talks about that they never really invented anything brand new by themselves, but they just learn how to do everything that we do. Do we have apes running the bureaucracies? are they not the best and brightest, but they're just kind of middling folks that have kind of seen an opportunity and they know the right people?
They're working the system.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're working the system. But, like in any form of government, when the government gets too large, I think that we as consumers, we as individuals, lose something, whether it be our individual rights, whether it be, in this case, good science. So what's the answer? Ultimately, it's limited government. And if the FDA, for example, had the right people in the right positions and an oversight that says, if it's good medicine, we are going to go with good medicine, good chemistry, state of the art, we're going to allow doctors to be able to practice. We're going to allow pharmaceutical companies to produce innovative type of drugs and techniques and research, instead of saying, either one of two things, and both has happened. This particular pharmaceutical company has padded our pockets and has given us things which they are not supposed to do, and of course that has happened in the past and continues to happen, in spite of all of the best efforts of certain people to try to stop that, or saying that this is, in quote, the standard of care, and we can't change the standard of care, as in this particular case. So,
well, the lesson to draw from this, I think, is that not only does power corrupt, but so does money. And there are plenty of examples, even biblical examples, of the institutionalization of the business of the temple, for example. That's basically what it brought it downhill, and this happens time and time again in our existence. So, no surprise here. And but David, I think you hit on the answer. We've got to look outside, and we've got to go to the people. I think that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, well, and make people, if people are made aware, then folks will migrate to the better solution, to their particular problem.
Of course, that's why we're talking about it here this morning too. Again, Dr. Don Clark with Creation Moments. You can link to their website, by the way, from ours, if you're listening on brokenroadradio.com this morning. You can just click over there on the Creation Moments logo. It'll take you there. You can learn a lot about that particular ministry. And they fight this the same battle on any number of fronts, creation versus evolution, and science versus faith, and similar involvements. So they're one of the leading organizations, and they've been around for, what, 50 years now, Don, huh? Celebrating your
50th. This is our 50th anniversary is this year. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, Creation Moments at creationmoments.com. Again, that's recommended reading for you on the internet. Dr. Don Clark from Garden Valley, Texas, joins us every Monday. Our conversation from this morning will be posted up there as a podcast. You can either listen on the site or download it. And included in that will be the link to the Mercola.com article from today. Don, thank you so much. Appreciate having you with us. And again, we always look forward to our chats, and we'll look forward to next Monday as well.
Well, thank you, Jim, and thank you, Dave.
Music.
Good talking to you, Don.
Music from Les Stahl at the piano.